This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 342, recorded on January 18th, 2018. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that play in the way of your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios in what feels like summer. And Mike, it's like 40, it got 40 degrees today. And I swear I saw people in shorts. Like,
I was just in shorts. Yeah, literally am. Maybe that's because I don't leave the house. But yeah.
Well, and you swear it was like 20 below. And all of a sudden, when it's 20 below and then it gets to 40, you're like, this is great. You know,
it's a 60-degree swing. Any other time you have a 60-degree swing, you know, it'd be awesome.
No, it was. And it was just brutal. I'm glad the warmer weather's coming back. Hopefully, it'll stay around for a while. Of course, remind folks, we post the show notes each week out at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can join us live on our mobile app, available at homegadgetgeeks.com. And of course, that is done through LastPass, where they sponsor that mobile app for us, and we appreciate them doing that via Spreaker. Best way to listen when you're on the road, and super easy. Honestly, it's a one button click live. So if you're on the road and you're listening live, get the app. It's down. You can download it for free. Just have it available on your phone. HomeGadgetGeeks.com. Well, we already said hi to him. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I told Jim, it's been a long time since I've been on, but it's felt like a blink of an eye. I had a newborn since then. We've had a baby. Harrison James Weger was born on December 29th. And so I've actually been on paternity leave from my job since then. I go back this coming Monday, but it's been, it's gone by in the blink of an eye. It feels like I was just yesterday. I was on the show. I didn't realize it's been like 3 or 4 weeks.
I think it's been 4. We did the drone show just before Christmas.
It's been almost a month.
That was the last time we saw you. Now you have 2. You're still alive. Still maybe a little tired. I'm a little more tired.
Is the gray coming in yet? Is it? Is there gray? Yeah, I feel like it. There should be.
Oh, 2 is still pretty manageable. It's the third that really throws you over the edge. So just stay. You know what's causing it. So just stay at 2. It's a nice, nice balanced app. Well, hey, big thanks to Heather Welch, who joined us last week from the North Island, New Zealand. A really good interview. And man, it was rocking on social media during the week. She's really good at that. And she was really good at promoting. Had some great listeners as well, who maybe you came in on that show and you stayed around to listen to us. And if you did, thanks for doing that. We appreciate it. Stay around a little bit. Of course, that's sunshineandpowercuts.com, and I enjoyed her story. If you haven't gone out and subscribed to her podcast and you like that kind of stuff, go out and do it. It's a really good podcast. She's really good at it. And you can't beat the accent. I don't know. I don't know why Americans love that Australian or New Zealand accent. Oh, that's awesome, she's got though. The Kiwi accent, which is pretty amazing. But Heather, thanks for coming on, and we appreciate it. We were going to have Jeff Patterson on tonight. Jeff does some vlogging and some YouTube, and it's home repair and DIY stuff. And we were going to get a little tool man, Tim Taylor tool man stuff going on. Well, the machine didn't work tonight. So we'll have Jeff on again. We've asked him to come back, and I think he's going to do that. Tony, thanks for recommending Jeff to us. And if you've got somebody you want us to interview and you want to recommend them, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We will do that. Love to do it and make it happen. Hopefully we won't have the problems we had tonight. Every once in a while, it just breaks down. The system just doesn't work. And then tonight, for whatever reason, we could not make it work. So Jeff, we'll get you rescheduled. And thanks for saying yes to that as well. Well, Mike, we're never at a loss for things to talk about. I don't even worry about it anymore. I think we probably have 2 or 3 shows in the can. We have been, of course, we have spent, you and I and McCabe, have spent an enormous amount of maybe this was your lifeline during having this baby, and because we were talking to you a lot.
I think so. It was like, hey, Mike, you need some sanity? My phone's like, you need some sanity? Hey, come talk about crypto with us. And I thought, from the looks of it, I would think you guys were on like paternity leave from your guys' jobs too. I'm like, do these guys even work? Like, they are just chatting up a storm in here. Maybe I shouldn't say that live.
There was a lot of chatting at work going on. I'm not going to lie.
But it's been great. It's been fantastic. Had a lot of good talk about all sorts of crypto stuff, from mining. And Dave was obviously down at CES, so he was giving us the lowdown on all the new tech down there. It was a fun conversation to have, especially while I've been on break.
It was really cool having Dave at CES this time because he was like giving us the inside scoop on stuff he was seeing, and he did a little crypto. There was a little crypto conference before CES.
Those after hour conferences, you know, like the ones where he would meet up with people afterwards. Those were some of the cool conversations he was letting us in on.
And listen, McCabe's got it bad. Like he has
gotten bit by the bug.
And it's broken loose for me. We'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. But Mike, what do you think when we think about crypto for the average guy? And we've done a lot of talking about this, and there's been some skeptics, and there's been folks who've jumped on board with us. And, you know, if you've been following the market at all, you know that there was a huge run up in December. It's backed up some. We've had some correction. So let's just follow Bitcoin. We made it almost to 20, and then it backed up all the way to 10. So that's a pretty good correction. We knew, and we kind of knew this. By the way, the U.S. stock market, while we've been doing all this, has been rocking. So hopefully, gentlemen and ladies, you have been doing the dollar cost averaging, set it and forget it, into the U.S. markets. What's really odd, Mike, is in years past, if this would have happened without the crypto distraction, I think people would be going crazy with day trading on the stock market, and that would be because the market conditions have been so good. I get that feeling that everybody has just put their money on autopilot and is screwing around with crypto at the moment. You get that feeling at all?
Since when is the stock market the safe bet, right? Now that's almost considered the safe thing, and crypto is like this new Wild West. And you're right. So maybe it would have been more of the day trading if crypto hadn't taken off like it did.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that's not going on out there. And that doesn't mean that's what happened. But we're not seeing...
There's still far more day traders in stock than there are in crypto.
Oh, there's got to be. You'd think there would have to be. But it doesn't seem to be talked about. Like, we just went over 26,000 in the Dow. And it was like... you know, snoring.
It's not the fun, sexy thing anymore, right? Like if you're not tripling your money in 6 hours, you're not as cool as crypto.
Yeah.
And if you're not losing six times your value in an hour, you're not as cool as crypto either. So
yeah,
it's a difficult game.
It's pretty crazy. Do you think, and I think, you know, at this point, if there's people feeling like they've missed this, would you say they have this move into crypto, do you think they've missed? I think they've missed a little bit of it, but do you think they've missed it if they're not in it right now, Mike?
I think they missed the fun, crazy, insane return time of it, but you haven't missed out on the benefit of it. So that's kind of the weird, you know, you can still invest and I think you could still make some money. I think the initial craziness is coming down. I don't think we're going to see the type of runs we saw in 2017 as often in 2018. Might see a few of them here and there, but just not as often. And then I think we're going to start seeing the outside benefits of this come to fruition a little bit more in 2018, right? 2017 was all about making money with this. It was insane. They were talking about the technologies and it's in the white paper, but nothing really is coming out of it yet. So I think maybe this year we start to see some of those white papers come true. You know, maybe start to, for example, Saia could start to be more popular. We could see some big, huge brand deals. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but that would be an example, is like the storage for Saia is actually used by some big players, things like that, where the background technology is actually taking a hold. That's what I hope for 2018. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. The two storage coins, and then Burst being the third, we'll talk about Burst here a little bit later, but the two storage coins you and I have talked about, Storage A or Storage and Saia, you just mentioned, actually are both doing really, really well at the moment. Yeah. Storage is actually, kind of getting their act together a little bit. They got some things they need to fix on their back end. Their payment system is still heavily manual. Their community is still awful. But the technology works really well. And the actual loading, you know, the storage client, if you have some extra storage laying around, you can throw at it. The nodes are actually pretty unintrusive. Storage has actually gotten better. You know, we had some trouble with it early on with the router. I'm not having any trouble with that anymore. That's working perfectly. Payments are happening. I got paid for my first month, almost did nothing. Now I got paid $1.50. That's the minimum, right? By the way, this is cool about storage. They have a minimum. And so if you can meet the minimum, they'll pay you at least $1.50, right? And then I got paid, or I'm going to get paid for the month of December, $5.75, something like that. And I'll get paid in the equivalent of their coin. But okay, so that's working. That's kind of cool. Their coin may move or it may not. Saia, on the other hand, has been getting a lot of media attention and has been showing up a lot in social media. that went from sub penny to I think maybe 10 cents at its height. Now, if you held it during that time, and by the way, you and I both did.
We did, yeah. And we held all the way back down too.
Yeah, all the way back.
All the way back down
to going down to a nickel, I think. Is it? So yeah, I think it came back to a nickel. But yeah. Pretty cool. Again, the reason we're doing this, I mean, yeah, we're gonna make a little money off this. I mean, you and I are in it for the money. Let's just say okay. But I said from the very beginning, I'm more interested in the technology than I am the money.
True.
You know, it's just and so to have a stake in it, to hold on to it, and to see what could be done with the blockchain and storage. Is Sai going to be the one that's going to make it? Is storage going to be the one that make it? Two totally different approaches to storage, two totally different approaches to the way they distribute the storage. You know, storage shards your data. Nobody gets all one piece. It's stored redundantly 6 times. It seems like that's got the best option, right? Sia takes the whole block, puts it on a hard drive. You make a contract between me and you. It's person to person. It's collateral. Doesn't seem like it's a great option, but there could be some things in the future where maybe it's not storage, but maybe it's other things,
right,
that work, right? You just don't know. By the way, wouldn't know any of this if we hadn't participated in it.
That's been the fun part, is being a part of these little groups, actually participating in the group. You know, you, like you mentioned, Burst too. You've really gotten into that, and it gives you a little skin in the game, but it also opens your eyes to these projects that most people don't even know about.
Yeah. It's also helped me keep an eye on the market. You know, what's super interesting is, so the price of Bitcoin in November, I don't think it had gone over 10,000 yet in November. I don't think it was close. It was making its way up. Yeah, didn't it make its big run in December? I
thought it had hit 10 in November, but it was close. It was around there some.
Let's just say for about 45 days, it was 10 to 20, and then back to 10 again. What's insane is 45 days ago, 60 days ago, it was the same price as it is now, and everybody's like, "Oh, it crashed," and you're like, "No." Let's get some perspective here. You just started noticing it in December when it was 12.
Right.
And then when it pulls back to 10, yeah. But like, I remember when it was 250.
Exactly. Like back in April, when I just had invested less than a year ago.
Yeah. So I'm
and you
not
were
sure.
Right, actually. I just checked. It did not cross 10 until November. So yeah. Wow.
I mean, this is how quickly this thing has been going on. So if you're in this crypto market and you're thinking about this, yeah, there's some wild swings. But I think like any market, cooler heads prevail. And if you can get into this knowing what you're getting into, and again, I like to get into it because I want to know some of the technologies that are going on. We both, you and I, have looked at two different coins that are around entertainment. So Digicoin and Tron are two coins that have entertainment potential. Well, okay, again, I'm not paying attention to them unless I got a little bit of skin in the game. With both of them, I mined one to 1,000. I've got about 1,100 coin that I mined. Yeah, so no money in that. I got in on Tron when it was super cheap. And so like, you know, that didn't cost very much. So, you know, we're not putting, at least I'm not, well, I kind of am. I'll tell that story here in a second, but we're, you know, this is not like people are cashing out 401ks, and hopefully, like don't hear us. Yeah,
don't.
But there's some interesting technology in this, and
all the stories about people taking out second mortgages on their home to buy cryptos. Oh man, makes my heart hurt.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm having a heart attack just thinking about it.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting space to be in. And as a technologist, I think I owe it to the people that I work with to understand what's really interesting is. In December and January, Mike, I had a lot of folks come to me and say, hey, what is all they had heard? You know, they heard the little news bites on Bitcoin and they're like, you know, what's going on? And you start explaining to the market and then you just see their head go. They have no idea.
The eyes just gloss over, you know,
how big this thing actually is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just today I was in a meeting, we were talking about the Omaha STEM ecosystem and they were like, hey, we want to do this session on, you know, there's this thing on mixed reality, and they're making a big deal about it. And they're like, oh yeah, and then there's this little thing called the blockchain. And I'm like, whoa. Wait a minute. I'm like, the mixed reality or virtual reality has just as much of an opportunity to change the future as blockchain does. And I think actually the blockchain will probably be more important.
Did you say little thing called the blockchain? Whoa, let me tell you.
Well, and they could tell, they're like, okay, we know you're passionate about this, but it's pretty interesting. And then of course you and I watched through December, and anybody getting in now, by the way, you're going to reap the benefits of a tested exchanges. Mike, we watched Bittrex close, like, hey, we can't handle the transactions. Poloniex is having trouble with some of its wallets. Where they're taking them down for maintenance because they're just not able to handle. You know, Bitcoin's really being tested at this point, right? Because transactionally, we saw in December the prices get so high from a transaction standpoint, just wasn't even worth it to transact, right? And that's by the way, that's a system that's supposed to happen that way, right? It's supposed to get more expensive to keep network traffic kind of in check. And so, but I think we saw Bitcoin is not, if we look to the future, Bitcoin can't handle the kind of traffic we threw at it in December. It's just not going
to scale. $30 a transaction it got up to. Any amount that you were sending, it was costing you $30 worth of Bitcoin to send. I mean, that was just outrageous. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. It couldn't handle it.
Well, so what do people do, right? They shift to Ethereum or they shift to Litecoin.
Yep.
And we saw, and we saw those transaction values go up, and we saw Litecoin struggle in some cases.
Ethereum wallets were closing down everywhere because they were congested too. It was insane. It took over 18 hours to send some of my Ethereum from Coinbase to a different wallet.
And this is awesome because you can't test this stuff unless you do this kind of, like, can't mimic this kind of testing in QA, you know?
No.
Like, hey, let's get, you know. So we are in the early stages, I believe, of really stress testing the blockchain concepts, blockchain ideas. You know, I keep going, I use this example a bunch, but this is like Windows 95. You know, it came out with big fanfare and it was going to change the world and it was going to be multi-threading and it's going to be plug and play until Bill Gates unplugged a monitor or unplugged a scanner at one of the big shows and the blue screen. Right. I mean, we struggled with Windows 95. Drivers didn't work. Blue screened all the time. Right. That's where blue screen of death came from. Right. But if we would have given up and said, piece of junk. Right. We wouldn't have gotten very far. It took thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people stress testing it. The blockchain is still going to continue to need that. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff shake out. There's going to be a lot of money won and a lot of money lost. Mm-hmm. We're going to see a lot of companies like during the dot-com boom. If we would have given up on the dot-com during the dot-com time, we wouldn't have had all the great companies that we have now, right? So we're going to see some great companies rise. We're going to see some other companies go away in this. We're going to see some coins go out of business. It's cool. Like, if there's no better time to be, I mean, this is a blast. I mean, I know you like it too. I'm a little jealous you're so young because you're going to get to live longer.
And see where it all goes. But I think as a technology guy, like, my favorite part about it is it totally fills that technology itch you have to check in on something, right? Like, all of us tech guys, we need a project, we need something. Like, I have the three coins I'm most interested in on my watch right now, so I can just look down and instantly check the price. There we go. My itch is, like, scratched the itch of needing to check, like, something. And I just love that part of it. It's a hobby. It's such a fun-changing hobby.
Yeah.
So you got to tell us, though, because this has become a little bit more than a hobby for you. You've gone into almost the pro level.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but Ken, you'll appreciate this because I think Ken's gone in with me on this, and a few of you have as well. But you know, we've done some GPU mining. I have four 1060, 1060s, GTX 1060s. They're all ASUS. Which, by the way, when I bought those, Mike, $214. Mm-hmm. I checked on Amazon the other day, $399.
Wow.
$349, yeah, or $399. Yeah, the 1060s have even got expensive. So if you're listening to this and you haven't bought GPUs and you're thinking, maybe I'll get into mining, I'm not sure. You might have missed that boat from a cost perspective. It takes a long time. Yeah. I mean, those payoffs.
Unless
on those,
you need a good deal on eBay. Sometimes you can snag a good deal on eBay.
But not too many people are selling yet either.
No, very true.
You know,
and be careful buying used ones because, you know, for example, one of my cards, we can't decide if my card went bad or if my power supply can't handle all the cards. I could box that thing up and sell it online on eBay for the full price because it works for like 3 hours and then it shuts down. So just be careful because there could be some people. I'm not going to do that, by the way. But people could do that with these used cards. If they could have, you know, months of continuous use on them if they've been used for mining.
Yeah, and hard.
Right. Their fans, hard. Their thermals, everything is just going to be stressed to the max.
So you might think. So I was kind of thinking through. It's like, you know, I'd really like to. And this is kind of at the height when this was early, the late December. Still, we were still riding high. Things were still looking good. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I had been getting into Burst. And of course, you know, Burst is really mining the blockchain on hard drive space using plots. So instead of running math, the math's pre-calculated and put on a hard drive. You fill the hard drive up with that math. And then when the blockchain presents itself, they scan the hard drives looking for that answer. And I'm oversimplifying this, but they scan the hard drives and the first one to find it gets the block, right? And it works just like, in a lot of ways, it works just like GPU mining, except I'm doing it right now and you can't hear my fans because there's no heat, right? These are running off hard drives. GPU runs 150 to 250 watts full speed, depending on what you got. Hard drive runs 5 to 10 watts.
Mm-hmm.
So right, the heat, I'm not going to say they're heatless, by the way. These drives still get pretty warm, but they don't create all the energy and all the heat that you would get out of a GPU. I don't have fans running, like it's quiet down here in the studio. It's kind of beautiful, and yet I'm still mining. So what I did is I started doing some of the math, and I looked and went out to the Burst calculator and said, so I wonder if I start throwing 8 terabyte drives at this thing, what it would do. And so for 2 days, I just did the math over and over and okay, calculated what's worst case scenario. And I figured if I could get 10 8 terabyte drives, yes, I said that right, 10 8 terabyte drives currently.
80 terabytes of space.
Yeah, right now, Amazon, new. And by the way, you get these at Fry's, same price.
Are those direct connect or network?
These are USB 3.
USB 3, perfect.
They are, but you could chuck them out, right? You could rip them out. They're desktop drives that are in there. You could rip those drives out if you want. I still might. 150 at this point. So it's what, January 18th, 2018. So if you're listening to this any other time, who knows? 150 right now. $1,500 for 10 drives. Started doing the math. 3 to 4 month payoff. Even worst case scenario. If the coin goes 7 to 10 cents a coin, it could be a little bit faster. Oh, and by the way, these still hold their value. If this whole thing goes in the tank, I could probably drop these on eBay today, sell them $110, $120 and get most and recoup most of what I put in. And it's just a ton of fun, right? For me anyways.
And what'd you pay for? 150, you said?
150. Yeah.
They're 160 right now on Amazon.
The Seagate ones?
Seagate, 8 terabyte desktop external hard drive. Yeah. It looks the same thing.
This is what I was worried about. Cause this is why I bought 10 of them.
But on sale from $239.
Yeah. Well,
I'm clicking the buy button right now. I mean, I was at least on one, right?
I was afraid prices were going to start, like people were going to catch on to this and prices were going to start going up. So I bought 10. They're in a box behind me. Actually, five deployed and 5 waiting to be deployed at this point. And I actually, you know, so you start thinking like, so when you start doing this, you know, the big mother load of the blockchain is when you win a block. And I, you know, I never thought I'd do that. Well, this morning I wake up, check the numbers. Boom. I had won a block while I was sleeping, let's say 6 a.m. or something like that. About 700 coin involved in that. Not bad. You're like, oh, hey, that's pretty good. Like, that's cool. That's going to be once in a lifetime kind of thing.
Right.
I go to work. I check it. Hit another block. I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. Now, hey, I have no expectations that this is going to keep going. But 1,400 coins in about 3 hours, I felt a little like our Saya days when we, you know, when you and I got on Saya.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, Dave on Reset had talked a little bit on his Reset podcast. It talked a little bit about kind of bringing the fun back to hardware. And I don't know if, Mike, if I had this much fun with hardware. By the way, I did all the calculation. I ran it by the finance director.
finance director.
I took her out to dinner and said, hey, here's the numbers. Here's kind of what I'm thinking. This is what I'm projecting. It could be totally wrong. I want you to know this is a crazy idea. But if this is good, if this works, I'm going to do this for a month or two. And if it works, I'm going to go with 10 more. Like, I think now, assuming price doesn't go up on hard drives. By the way, if they go up on hard drives, that means I can resell these actually for more, right? True. You know, so you kind of start thinking like,
Unwrap the cellophane until the one previous is done being plotted, because by that time the price could have gone up and you can sell it in the cellophane.
Right. Yeah. Just no, start right on. Them as you finish plotting them. You know, right. I keep them in the box. So the five that I have out unwrapped at this point, I'm carefully cutting them out of the box. I'm saving all the materials. Like, if I'm going to sell these, I want to sell them to somebody with everything. I'm going to be a good eBay seller.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I want everything original box. I'll tell them what I used them for. Ken is asking in the chat room, all over USB 3. Yeah. So I bought a USB 3 10 port hub for this that I'm putting each of those hard drives in. By the way, the USB standard USB supports. Do you know how many devices you can have on a USB hub, Mike? We'll put that out. I'll play the Jeopardy music. Dum, 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 dum. Try again. A little more. Dum, 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 dum. Even more. Dun, 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 dun. We'll do the chat room too. Anybody in the chat room know how many USB 64? Devices? Even more. 127. What? Yeah.
Really?
Isn't that a weird number?
On a USB 3.
Yeah, I think the whole USB standard is the same.
I thought USB 3 had more lanes to it.
Maybe it did. Maybe it does. I'd have to do some look. But so I figured I could do 10 or 20 and be able to cover the 127 devices. That'd be okay. 20 is less than 127. So I think I'm okay. And run it. And if this morning is any indication of throwing more drives at it wins more, then yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm going to give this a try. At least on paper, Mike, it looks like the fundamentals are strong. My four GPUs mining $8 to $10 a day, maybe. So, you know, we're talking $300 a month, let's say somewhere in there. That's not bad either during the downturn. Let those things run.
Just yeah, no put kidding. Them on.
Let them run. Don't think about it. In fact, it's, you know, we're picking up coins a little bit cheaper probably than we would have on the way down. So I'm trying to approach this. I've had a lot of folks kind of approach me like, you know, like you're gambling and this is dangerous and don't point the gun at me and some of those kinds of things, you know?
Right.
And working with you and Dave has been, this has actually been a lot of fun and fairly, I think fairly calculated. I've watched you calculate a lot of things and right. say, you know, what do you think? Well, so how many cards are you at this point? Kind of what are you thinking as far, you've now heard my strategy.
Yep.
What are you thinking you're going to do going forward?
So I'm actually I don't know if I'm going to replace the fourth card or not. So I've got Jim and I are going to work out. So what happened is my mining rig kept completely locking up. Nothing, it would say it's on. And then one of the GPUs, the fan was just 100 miles an hour going, all the rest of them were silent. So it's either that GPU or my power supply I am pushing the limits and I'm probably going over a little bit. It's a 750 watt power supply. And I think I'm pulling 800, maybe a little bit more. So maybe the power supply finally started to give it fits. So I'm going to give the car to Jim, have him try it. I actually don't have a second power supply to even test the thing. With that, all my other ones are kind of pre-built boxes that I can't alter it all. So I'm down to three cards and I think I'm going to stick with that for a while though. I've been pretty happy with it. For the investment, I just bought an 8 terabyte, hard drive thing. So I'm going to try one. I'm not going to go crazy with that, but I think one will be good for me just to get some more plots in there and try that. So I'm always down. So my whole thing is like, I don't think I'll ever go full bore into any of these, but I'll give all of them a shot. And the GPU mining has been fantastic. I mean, those cards have more than paid for themselves in the past few months. And then what I really like to do though, is I like to go take the money the mining rig gives me and throw in a little bit extra and kind of buy some altcoins and have fun with it. And I only really invest in the coins, like we talked about, that are kind of have an underlying technology that we really like, something that I think has a chance in 2018. So though that's kind of been my fun side of things. I've got another buddy who he doesn't care at all about mining. doesn't have the hardware, doesn't care, but he really likes the underlying blockchain stuff. So he's really gotten into it, and he's always sending me articles on cool new coins. And he's like, oh, dude, what do you think about this one? And we're, you know, feel like we're an investment firm here trying to make a decision on whether we buy their pitch or not. But it's been a lot of fun with that. So I'm going to try the Burst thing again, give that another shot, and with this 8 terabyte hard drive, see what we can do with it and kind of keep going from there. But yeah, no big plans to upgrade my mining rig currently.
Yeah, I think it's
because for me, that would involve a whole nother board, a whole nother power supply, more risers. So I'm at the point 4 maxes out my board, and I would need to get a whole new setup, and I'm just not willing to put that much money in.
Yeah, it's a weird phase. When I was buying the 4 cards, I kind of thought I was, you know, like, I was overreaching what I should be doing.
Right.
Right. You know, and then I got them and I'm like, man, these are great. I kind of wish I was going to pull the trigger on 4 more Zodiac 1060s. They were the last, they're the bottom, you know, they're kind of the cheaper versions of those cards, and they were $250. And I could see the prices kind of, you know, starting to climb. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, oh boy, you know, maybe I should get these before we see the 299, 349, 399 on those 1060s. It's kind of ridiculous. I didn't. But then you start thinking, okay, like you, man, maybe I need an external box, right? The big craze is to buy these open cases. Mm-hmm. And so then you're like, okay, now over on Home Server Show forums, Dave has posted Dave's gotten way into the hardware on this point, and he has been posting kind of his builds. John's building kind of a rig at this point, and he has purchased some equipment. So I've been kind of watching this, but then you start thinking, okay, that's a motherboard, that's a new power supply, and that's probably 1,000-watt power supply at that.
Ooh, if not more,
right? Yeah. You're gonna want to throw.
I want to go 1,200 at the point, right? Because you know you're gonna want to expand after this. And yeah, you might not buy a whole rig that you're already, you know, pinned it to the max.
And I was thinking, well, I'll make it a joint. You know, mining plus burst box, because the CPU is not being used during GPU mining at all, right? Which that way that box. So you want to throw a little bit of power, because the more CPU you can throw at plotting for burst, the better off you are. And the more RAM. So you kind of want to buy this thing. You want to throw 16 gig or 32 gig of RAM at it. You want to put in at least a Core i7, because you want to throw some power at this thing if you're going to do burst with. This is me thinking, by the way. This is my thinking. So 1200 watt GPU, pretty nice board with 4 to 6, maybe even 8, PCI slots. I'm like, oh my God, okay, stop. You know, you're just like, stop. Right. The 10 drives was enough. I'm going to give this a thing. It looks like it has a pretty good payoff. I'm going to give it a run. You know, the funny thing is, back in the home server days, we built all this stuff and there was no payoff. Like, you were just spending money, like, just so you could store your MP3s, your pictures, your movies.
And now it's all the payback. Like, talk about the wife approval factor going through the roof, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Probably make some money.
No, I could put some, you know, some, I could stripe these things together and have a pretty good, by the way, which I think the other thing I was thinking about with burst is, okay, so if the burst thing doesn't work, I could use some of these for storage, or I could use some of them for SIA. If those things work, they could be repurposed, right? I think there's going to be some other offerings coming along the way. So, it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting. Oh, one of the things I also bought in the process. These are kind of handy to have. I had never bought these before. By the way, $10 gets you these extensions, these cable extensions, right? So you need these for your, because all these hard drives have that big old brick. Right. And of course, if you're going to put them in a standard, power strip, it doesn't work very well. So $10 Amazon, 10 of these, just to get, you know, to get a little extension on them. And that worked out. That's working out great. I got cables everywhere, dude. I have power cables, USB things going around. I've got 3 PCs plotting all at the same time. Takes on a Core i7, it probably takes about 8 days to plot 8 terabytes. Takes a while. Wow. So my Core i3 takes about 12 days. And then, of course, this AMD box I have running, God only knows. I just set it and then try not to think about it till it's done. So you got to do a little work up front. You got to plot these drives. If you're going to get into this, you're going to spend a little time plotting. But John, my son, got into this with me in a project, and he said, he said this morning, he was like, dude, what did you do? Apparently 30 terabytes is the answer. And he's got 12 in a Wicked Raid that's super fast. And he's kind of caught on too. And I think he's going to go.
So I wonder if he pulled that out of the raid, he would gain more space. You don't need redundancy on burst.
No, not rated for redundancy, but speed.
Gotcha. But you still lose space.
A little bit. No, no. Yeah, I don't think he's lost much. He knows. I told him, dude, don't give any space away. Space is key.
Right.
Make these things. I mean, he has pretty, he's got them put on a raid card for, I mean, I don't think he has them striped. I think he's running them individually, but he's got them on a card. It's not like me, you know, USB 3 is not.
Right. Not a raid card. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So he,
R710 server, right. But you know, those are 10K drives, 600 gig. But they're rated and I lose a lot of space. They're not the best. That's not what you want to use that storage for. That's more for my everyday use stuff.
Yeah. So Justin says no lost space in RAID 0, which is true, right? You're basically just passing them through the card. And I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing. But that's still a lot faster than having them like I'm having them USB. However, I don't think Burst cares, to be honest with you. It sends the disk thing and then it's a race. And if you happen to have that plot close to where it sees the first time, you win. And apparently the winners, it didn't matter because I won last night. You know, I won twice this morning. And the way pools work, 60-40, I'm making it, you know, I'm making that whether I'm winning the block, the whole block, or the pool is winning the block, you're getting coins. So not a bad way to get in. I'll say this, if you're interested or you got questions, setting up Burst is hard. It's just not as easy. Mike, you started.
Yeah, no, it's complicated. Yeah. And I'm doing it all over again. And then the second time's a little bit easier. The software has gotten much better in the last 2 months. I remember I tried this 2 months ago and it was awful. So it's gotten a lot better. But yeah, it's a little bit more complicated. Definitely not click go like a lot of the mining rigs are right now. But it's still relatively simple.
Yeah. No, and I think it's what's great is that software is changing and it's got a great dev community around it. And that's another thing. I've been listening to this podcast called Coin Mastery. And the guy is super hot on making sure if you're going to get involved in this, that you kind of understand how good the dev environment is around the coin. And that's just not all marketing.
Very true.
Yeah. So,
the community says a lot about that too. Not necessarily a one-for-one match, but you're right. The devs are very important.
Yeah, I think what they're doing. So we're watching on Burst. I'm seeing weekly kind of changes coming to the software, making it better. I'm watching plotters that are getting better. I'm watching the miners get a little bit better. So it's interesting. In 3 months, maybe 6 months from way back when we first started. I have to go back to think when we started with StoreJ and when Dwayne was on, I think he was on in July, July, August timeframe, man, it is moving fast. And so if you're interested, if you got some questions around Burst, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Love to chat about it. I've been through, I spent like an enormous amount of time testing every single configuration, every single option. What's the right way to strut or what's the right way to plot? You know, what are the right drives? How does this work out? I've done the math. I've been through this and Dave's hooked on it as well. We'll get you back. Mike, we'll get you back on Burst. And it's kind of fun. Not going to lie. If you don't want to throw money at crypto and you've got some spare hard drive space laying around, you can actually generate your own.
That's something everyone has. I feel like nowadays, a little bit of hard drive space, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Now, no one's got 80 terabytes, Jim, but
And that price did go up 160. God, that disappoints me.
Yeah. I snagged one though at 160.
Oh, good. Good. It's hard. Once you buy 160 is still a good price for 8 terabytes.
When you buy 10, that's $100.
But I got them. Yeah. I got them at 149. I'm a little Dave saw him at Fry's, by the way. He saw him at Fry's for 149. So if you have a Fry's in your area. And you're thinking about doing something like this.
We do not, right? We don't have a Fry's.
No, business. We don't have a Fry's. That kind of blows.
I am 47% plotted on my hard drive. And I started that today at Yeah, probably around 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. And I have actually
only 700 gig, so not a lot.
Yeah. No, all. it takes a while. 8 terabytes takes a while. I actually have to shut off the plotters because I got them running here on the studio PC as well as on the broadcast server. And so they consume, you know, what's really, really cool is you can actually set the number of threads that they use as well as the number of RAM that they take. So more RAM, the better, more threads you can give them, the better, of course, but you can throttle those back if you want to. And I choose to shut them off. I'll start replotting when we get done. You can shut the plotters on and off, kind of make it, you know, kind of make it work. You used to not be able to do that, but they've fixed that so you can do it. So those are shut down. The miners are actually shut down during the show as well. It's getting kind of cold.
Gets cold down there without all that heat.
You're like, who turned the miners off?
Right.
it's a great time of year. I don't know what I'm going to do in the summer, but it's a great time of the year. Anything else on crypto, Mike, as we kind of round out that conversation?
Not on crypto. No, I've been out of the game. You thank goodness for you and Dave. Keep me in the game with the chat, because otherwise I feel like I'd be lost.
It was kind of fun. The three of us just had a Facebook IM going around. Man, I talked to Dave more in the time we were doing this than I did in a whole year. Like I wondered, wow.
Like we started that three-way chat when we were trying to help him set up his mining rig, and all of a sudden we talked a lot. Like, did Jim and Dave always talk this much?
No.
No?
No. No, we don't. We don't. But it's something interesting. You know, it's some hardware. It's some things, something new to kind of think about. You know, it's just kind of different. It's exciting for the space I'm in. It's kind of fun. And I get disappointed. Like I come down here and I have three PCs plotting and I have Burst running and I got StoreJ up and going and that's optimized. I've spent hours on optimizing the storage offering. I got Saya working and, you know, you kind of sit here and you're like, what do you do?
Like my phone plot something, a USB adapter from my phone.
It's different. I spent so much time at Christmas.
I'll go talk to my wife.
There were days. I know it's true. I probably should. There were days during Christmas break, 12 hours, I'd be sitting here like, you know, working through stuff, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's exciting when you're making, you know, when you're making those kinds of things. So hopefully if you haven't gotten bitten by the bug, hey, no judgment, not a big deal. Like if you're, you know, I know this, I feel like, and I'm going to keep talking about it because I feel like the blockchain is going to be important to things coming in technology in the future. And so much like we talk about home storage and PCs and phones and some of those kinds of things, there's going to be some problems in technology solved by the blockchain. I want us to be in it. So I'm going to keep talking about it a little bit. We won't cover every show. We had Jeff drop out tonight. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to get Mike updated and tell you a little bit about my Burst setup. Hey, you pointed to your watch. Did you get a new one?
So we haven't talked since Christmas, and so we didn't do our Christmas your gadget
update yet.
So yeah, I got, you know, three things. Maybe we'll save some for the post show, whatever we have time for. But I got three things. So number one, got a brand new Apple Watch. This is the Series 3 with LTE. So that was kind of the big upgrade. So my Apple Watch was the very first gen Apple Watch, and it actually, I was shocked. I mean, that thing, the battery, haven't replaced any of that, has lasted all the way up till now. And even now, I gave that one to my dad and he's using it and it's still going strong. So the life on these things is pretty darn good for what we thought. We thought these things were going to be a year and a half and the battery'd be dead or they'd be out of date, and no, it still worked pretty well. But the thing I love about this version, so completely waterproof, first of all. So I'm not a swimmer, but for a lot of people that are swimmers, that's really good. I don't have to worry about it though when I'm giving Emin a bath or anything like that, you know, doing anything where it's getting wet. Don't have to worry about it, completely waterproof. Nothing new for a watch, though. Apple is kind of behind the game there, getting to the completely waterproof part. But the LTE, also, I recognize they're not first to that either. But man, I think they have done it better than any other smartwatch brand. So it was seamless in the way it sets up. So this thing has LTE. As soon as you pair it with your phone, it pretty much goes through whichever carrier you have. It walks you through the setup process. So with Verizon, you get your first 3 months free, and then it's an extra $10 a month after that for adding this to your device, but shares the same phone number. So if I'm going across the street to the grocery store, I leave my phone on my desk and I go out, I have my AirPods in and my watch. And if someone calls me, it comes straight to my watch. and I have it on my ear pods. I can text everyone from my watch, and my phone is still at home. And it actually rings both. So whichever one you have, maybe you're with your watch or you're with your phone, it doesn't matter. So the fact that it can share that one phone number, I think is pretty awesome, pretty fantastic. And I've just loved being able to leave the house and not have this thing, because I am the type of person, Hannah gets on me about it all the time, and rightfully so, I'm on this a lot. And if I have it, this is what I whip out. But if you don't have this, like, and you have to do something else, but you're still connected, you don't have to sacrifice being connected. People can still get a hold of me, phone calls, whatever. It's been liberating. Let me tell you, every time now I'm trying to more and more, I get further and further away from the house without my phone. First, I just had to go to the gas station.
Why?
Now, I can go to Hy-Vee.
Why would you want to? Why would you want to leave the house without your phone, Mike?
But because it's just one less thing, right? Like, why do you? You realize how much you check this thing when you don't need to? Because what else do you need this for besides phone calls and texting?
Right.
It's been great. So
well,
I
check
really
your
like
cryptocurrency
that
prices. That's why you need it.
Yeah, I still have it on my watch. I have the bit, my app on my watch. I can check it if I need to. It's actually on my watch face. So I can tell you right now, Sciacoin's at 5 cents.
Yeah. What about Bitcoin? Where are we at with Bitcoin? 11,000?
That's not one of my top three.
Oh.
I have TRX, Ripple, and Sciacoin.
Yeah, those are three we're all kind of watching.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. Going on a run, it's got built-in GPS. And with the LTE, this is your full run monitor. I mean, it can do the map and everything because it has everything it needs. So really changed the game for me. I already loved the Apple Watch in the first place. And now with the LTE, I think it's a complete game changer. It's very, very smart in how it, if it's close to your phone, it's going to use that. If it's not close to your phone, if your phone's not there, but it's on it has Wi-Fi around that you've been on before, it's going to jump on the Wi-Fi. Last ditch is cellular. So even very smart if you don't have your phone with you, which I really like about that. I noticed that I was at my buddy's house, didn't have my phone, but it was on his Wi-Fi because I had previously connected to that with my phone. So pretty smart in the way it works. Battery life is fantastic. I don't know if the LTE version has a bigger battery than the non-LTE version or if it's just that much better than previous gens at its battery usage, but I can go a full 2 days now with this watch where before I was only going about a day with my other watch. And then I added a sleep tracker because I can go full 2 days. I now do a sleep tracker that works with the watch, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been really, really cool.
Ken is asking if the interface speed is any faster than the first gen.
Way faster. Everything is faster about it. So, and to be fair though, I didn't notice that the other one was slow. So I would never have called Gen 1 slow yet. I mean, it definitely wasn't fast, but I was used to it. You come to the Series 3 and everything's just super snappy. It's just, and when you click on it, it happens fast. You know, you click on ESPN, the scores load pretty fast. So yeah, very, very snappy. I really like it. And an interesting feature. So if you do get it wet, you swipe up and you hit like, what's it called? It's just a water drop icon and it plays this really like weird sound and it's supposed to vibrate the water out of the speaker. And so it gets it out of everything. Wow. And it's kind of a weird feeling, but yeah, anytime you submerge it for a little while, you're supposed to run that and it just kind of plays a tone that vibrates the water right out of the speaker. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
That's super cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think if I didn't already have some great watches, that would probably be my next one. I think I said this, during Christmas time, I moved to the 8 Plus.
Yes. You told me, but you had just, we had the show with,
okay,
someone, I can't remember who was on when we were talking about trying to convince you like which one to go with. And so you went with the 8.
I did go with the 8 Plus. So 8 Plus. I went with the big one. You know what? And it was a little big at first. Like I was like, oh, because a buddy of mine had bought this.
Because you didn't have the Plus before.
No, I just had the 6.
Right.
And so it's going to 6 to an 8 Plus. And and a buddy had done that. Same thing. He had gone from a 6 to an 8 Plus. And he goes, he took it back. He was too big. I couldn't. And so I was worried that I wasn't going to like the size, and oh man, I'm so glad I did. Like, I love it now. It is so great. That extra space is good. I've kind of figured out, you know, I'm not using the wireless charging. So I think like you, I've put the,
yep,
you know, I have the, for the magnet on the back. So yeah, so there you go. So it plugs on in the car, you know, I'm still using the Wiz Gear magnetic holder on that. The battery's amazing. It's been great. Sure, an Android is just as good, but it was good to make the switch. So I didn't do any tech for Christmas. Like,
really?
It wasn't a...
Oh, mine was like full of tech.
Yeah.
I kind of reloaded on tech. It had been a while. You know, you kept asking me, do you have any new gadgets? And I hadn't had any for a while. So
did you get anything else?
Yeah. So
what else did you get?
this one I'll just go over quick, but if you have any gamers in the audience. So Xbox has what's called their Xbox Elite Controller. So I hadn't played with this before. I had heard of it. And then I actually got this as a Christmas present. And I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. I just asked for a controller. I guess I didn't specify. So someone like went the Elite. Really cool. If you're an Xbox gamer, this thing has adjustable everything. The thumb things just pop right off. They're magnetic. And you can have taller ones, more rounded ones, shorter ones. And it comes with it. You don't need to buy all these things extra. It comes with all these different thumbsticks. You've got the D-pad now is now like a circular D-pad. You can probably see it there, a little circular D-pad. Everything on it feels industrial. It's metal. It's really heavy. The triggers are fully adjustable. So instead of a full trigger pull to shoot ones, you can actually adjust it to like it's half. So it physically stops the trigger at half. So you can do it a lot quicker. Just really cool.
Price difference between that and a regular controller?
You know, I didn't check. Let me check real quick. So a regular controller is going to run you about $60.
Yeah.
And Xbox Elite.
Not that you're supposed to be looking up prices on Christmas gifts, but no, right? Kind of, you know, for this show. Okay, that's not too bad.
No.
That's a nice looking controller.
It feels. Yeah, it's nice and heavy. And then what's also cool is, so my parents got me this controller, and my mom had to tell me the story when she got it. She goes, I heard you can cheat with this controller. And she goes, so now you can be better at your duty game.
That's your duty game. I like that.
I was like, Call of Duty. She's the Call of Duty game, whatever you play. And I'm like, what do you mean you can cheat? She goes, I don't know. I went to Best Buy and I asked him, like, hey, my son just wants an Xbox controller. He's like, well, is he a big gamer? She goes, well, no, but like, you know, he plays with his friends. She's like, oh, well, this controller has some cheat. And I'm like, what do you mean it can cheat? Well, so this controller, long story short, has I wonder if it shows it. Okay, on the side there, you can see the back has two paddles. Actually, there's four. There's two on each side. So there are extra paddles on the bottom that you can get with these two fingers. And you can program those to any button that, like any other button. So you could have them be the R trigger or the A. So you could be like just running these two fingers and you could be firing really fast. So I'm really bad at it. Nothing's going to make me good at COD. I'm a terrible gamer. Like I am the worst gamer. I thought about live streaming my gaming in college just to show how bad I was. Oh, that's it was terrible.
That's awesome.
So, but it makes me a little bit better. So a very cool controller though. I actually didn't think I would. I was like, okay, what am I going to notice? And I'm not a hardcore gamer anyway, but surprisingly I really liked it. So, it looks like
other Jim says that your segment is the inverse of Paul Burns from last week or 2 weeks ago. Paul was doing 70s, 80s and 90s tech.
Yeah. And now it's like all the new stuff. Well, okay. So this is my final one. We'll talk about, this one really brought this house into the 20th century, but, we've talked about these in the past, I think, but we installed the Ecobee 4. So there's the two really Ecobee and Nest are your two leaders in the smart thermostat place. Biggest difference between the two is that the Ecobee has these little sensors. So you can get a pack right here. So the Ecobee 4 comes with one, but you can also get an extra pack. So I got an extra pack for it. So we have three of these sensors, really tiny. I mean, you're talking, you know, pretty small, miniature donut size.
Where'd you put them?
So you can they come with a little tiny little stand, or you can just drill. There's a spot in the back to put a screw and you drill them right into the wall. So what we did is we ended up putting one because we have a cold spot. And if you have hot and cold spots in your house, this is great for it. Now there's pros and cons that I'll talk about in a bit. We put one in Emmett's room because Emmett's room is on the north side of the house, furthest away from the furnace. It is freezing in there. Like that room is so cold. And then we also put one in our bedroom because our bedroom is kind of a different spot. One in the living room. So those are the three sensors. And then the Ecobee itself is in the hallway and that's a sensor. So technically four. Well, the cool part about these is that you can assign them for different times of the day. So there's three modes, home, sleep, and away. So while you're home during the day, while you're sleeping, and then when you're away, what you want it to do. Well, nice part about that is we don't really care about our bedroom during the day. And we really don't care about Emmett's room during the day because he's not in there. He's out in the living room playing with us. So you set those zones. So during the sleep at night phase, we have it pull from his room and our room. That's all we care about. Say, hey, make those two rooms, make only pull from those, ignore everything else, and make sure those are set at like 71 degrees. And then during the day, ignore those rooms and only focus on the living room because the living room stays hot. So it actually doesn't need to run as much during the day as long as we only focus on the living room. So it's been really nice. Probably, I don't know if it's saving us money, because we're actually running it more often at night because it's trying to keep those two rooms heated. Because, I mean, you got to think, this thing isn't closing or opening vents in the house. It's just running it more to keep those areas warmer.
And you're a single zone in your house.
Yeah, we're a single zone house. So the one downside is, so we have it set because Emmett goes to bed around 7:30, 8 o'clock. So at 7:30, our sleep setting kicks in and it starts to pick up from the two bedrooms and ignores the living room. Well, that means it runs it a lot because those rooms are cold. So the living room, I mean, you have to like strip down to nothing because it's so hot in the living room. Yeah. So you can actually open a window though. But the great part about that is if you open a window in the living room, it's not going to affect your heating or cooling as far as running it because it doesn't care. It's ignoring the temperature input from the living room. It's only pulling from the two sensors. So really nice. It actually pulls in humidity too. It can run a humidifier. It can do dual zones if you have it. Very, very adaptable to whatever home situation you have. And the cool part about the Ecobee 4 is it itself is an Alexa. So we now have an Alexa in the hallway because it has Alexa built in. It's got a speaker in it. You can ask her to do things and it talks straight to the thermostat as well as being integrated into your other Alexa devices, but it itself on the wall has its own speaker and microphone into it. So really cool.
Yeah. You should probably have a HVAC person just give you some advice on getting more, you know, get being able to find ways to get more temperature out to your corners. So you don't, cause you're probably burning a lot of heat. You don't to keep those corner rooms heated. There's probably some other things you could do.
Yeah, we played around with our dampers and that helped a little bit. At the beginning, it was terrible. But now I have a kind of a winter setting for my dampers for turning the warm spots down a bit, closing that damper a little bit. I think they're dampers, right? And then opening the ones more to the other side of the house.
Yeah, when we had Dwayne on, remember they've got those Wi-Fi enabled dampers that they can run. They'll shut, you know, based on timers or things that are going on. Mike Howard uses these too. They'll close off the dampers and force more air out into the units without getting them in the living room. That may be something you want to take a look at, you know?
Right. Yeah, that would help a lot. I'm also looking at things, you know, I think his room is especially cold. And so I think
start a fire in the middle, man. That's fine.
Right. It's not that hot. It just feels hot. So you can tell each temperature of the sensor. And when it's 71 in those in his room, it's 76 in the living room.
That's warm, man.
5-degree difference.
Yeah, it's warm.
But Ken had a good point. The sensors do motion and temperature. So it can actually, you could set it to where it follows you around. If it senses motion, it'll use that sensor. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And the temperature. I do wish the sensors did humidity. Humidity is only pulled from the main unit. It is not pulled from any of the sensors, which is kind of confusing. You would think you would want all the sensors to pull humidity as well, but they do not.
So chat room remembers the name of those dampers from that Dwayne was talking about.
That'd be interesting to get those. And then, yeah, but being able to control it from your app is also great. We were leaving and I had forgot to set it on away mode. And so we were going away for the weekend, just got on my phone, turned it on away mode, which turns it down to like 64 or something like that. Whatever you set it at, it goes down to there. So there's a lot of really cool settings on there.
No, nice.
Fun things you can do.
Yeah, since we're moving, I'm not putting any of that stuff in. And
well, and that's smart because this actually took a lot to put in. It comes with an adapter you have to put in. It's like this power adapter. If you take off your thermostat and you don't have the C wire, you need to go down and install this. And you have to open up the shield on your furnace and go in there and rewire the stuff. So if you're not comfortable with that, they actually suggest having an HVAC guy do it, but I went in and did it. It's not too difficult. And,
Something picked back up again on your network.
Did it really?
We're losing a little bit, or maybe it's me because I look fuzzy. Maybe something picked up on my network. Shouldn't have. Oh, well, that's right.
Should have on mine either. That's weird.
All right. Well, that's fine. Smart vents. Yeah. Maybe Keen, KEEN.
Expensive?
Well, they're not cheap, but they're not terribly expensive. Keen smart vents. Dwayne was talking about, we did, if you go back to one of the Dwayne shows, he talks about those smart vents as being a way to kind of, you know, you basically put them, they're pretty expensive. Put them over your registers and then they'll shut off, you know, kind of based on environmental conditions and force that air. You got to be careful on an HVAC system. They're not necessarily designed out of the chute to have dampeners on them. Right. And so unless you get, because you can blow a fan or you can wreck your system by closing it down and it's not set to do that. So, you know, you might want to consult an HVAC person person and just kind of say, hey, you know, what could we do to, you know, to you, it may make more sense for you to have a localized heater in that room, in that far north room, heat that room. Here's how we got around it. We just bought an electric blanket. So our bedroom sits right over the garage, and the garage is north, west facing. So it literally takes the brunt of every storm. And so the garage is always cold. Well, there's supposed to be insulation between the garage and the, but it was 1950s insulation, which means it's just crap.
Right.
And I didn't want to go in and reblow, you know, insulation in there. So our floor is always a little chilly. And then of course that radiates up, you know, in the room. So we just got an electric blanket, and you just, in the winter, you turn that thing on one, two is probably too much, but one, and it actually is so great to sleep in a room that's ice cold and the bed is just toasty warm, that's except true. When the alarm goes off.
Yeah, then you don't want to get out. But see, so that's pretty, you know, 1990s of you, Jim. Nowadays, you should just have a mining rig in every room that's cold. That's what the cool kids are doing now to heat up their rooms.
Don't think I haven't thought about that.
Right.
It's like,
you know, and I can save money on Emmett's room, babe. I think we just need to put a mining rig in there.
And it's white noise. Like, all my kids had fans going in their rooms when they were, you know, when they were growing up here. They all wanted white noise.
Right.
And so there you go. Don't think that Sammy was home on Christmas break, and we were talking about mining and stuff. And I said, hey, what do you think? Like, I asked her, is your room cold? Do they heat your room
very well? You don't pay for your power bill down there.
I'm like, hey, would you mind if I installed a mining rig in your room? And I would. If she said yes, I would. But I did ask that question. I think Tony's saying 65 degrees Fahrenheit, recommended sleeping temperature. So good to know. Ours is probably a little less than that.
I even brought up the research. She goes, I don't care. You can show me all the research you want. I'm not sleeping in 65 because I love it cold and she loves it really warm. So,
yeah.
And to be fair, we have two babies and they don't want, you know, they don't sleep with blankets. So you got to kind of make sure it's a little warmer. So
they're not good. They're not good at keeping themselves covered.
No.
I think, Mike, what we're going to see in colleges and universities, a ban on mining next fall. I bet we're going to start seeing.
How do you enforce that?
Through RAs. Well, but they'll at least, because there will be some students who comply, right?
But I just don't know how you'd even find it.
Just trust me, it's coming.
You think?
I'm starting to see more and more. I've seen in the paper lately. One, I'm seeing a university saying things like, okay, we have a power problem because, I mean, think about this. Like, it's unlimited, man. And these guys, you know, look what we're doing, and we have some control. Like, these college kids, I shouldn't disclose it, but one of my college interns is doing this with an 8 CPU rig, and he goes, yeah, it was too hot for my room, and my girlfriend's room is always too cold, and she's cold, so I took it down to her room. So he's got it plugged in her room, and I think it's going to be a problem. I really think universities, because it's not free. And just imagine that, because the universities are paying for it. Right. We're talking about in the University of Nebraska system, we're talking about a university system that was $100 million short this year or something like that, something stupid, right? So I kind of think they're going to start looking, and I think you're going to start seeing this fall some campuses who say, as part of the dorm agreement, no mining rigs.
That would make sense.
I think they're going to find a way to enforce it.
Those old dorms, those power grids are not made for that kind of power. In those buildings to be pulling that much.
No, they're barely meant to run a hairdryer.
Right.
So. Or take a shower. by college standards. It is. Yeah. I think we're going to see some, I think we're going to see it come out. It's going to be too big of a problem. It's just too profitable.
I just think enforceability will be very difficult.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but that doesn't mean they shouldn't enforce it, that they shouldn't make the rule, right? Like,
drinking is the same problem.
Good reason to not do something.
And they still enforce it. I mean, it's not 100%, but neither is speeding and neither is some of those things, you know, and they still have laws because you need, you know, again, locks are for honest people. There will be people who comply. Yep. There will be students who say, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. or they'll think like, I'm going to tone it down. I mean, I guarantee you on college campuses, there are rooms that are just full of racks of these things running, and they're 5 minutes away from the place burning down because they're the wires are red hot.
Yep.
Or they're blowing totally circuit agree. Breakers or whatever. So, well, anything else, Mike, in the break that we gave you? Any other new tech that you come across?
No, I mean, we talked a little bit on the pre-show. I can just mention it real quick. Hatch Baby is an app that if you are a new parent of a newborn, it's a great app for tracking diapers and feedings. And the reason we chose it, first of all, it's a gorgeous app, which is hard to find these days with that kind of stuff. They're all kind of pretty clunky, but it works fantastic with Alexa. It was actually built around Alexa. So if you have the Amazon devices, it's a great device to run with that. So just a quick plug for them. It's a fantastic app. We've been using it. Makes tracking a lot easier. So if you're something you're looking for, there's something for the babies.
Something for the baby. Other Jim says they block port 3333. Oh, which there you go. That could be another way of, you know, you start blocking mining ports.
True. Pretty smart.
I think the burst port I'm on is 8124. And that would be that, you know, you could start doing some analytics across this and just kind of say, well, you know, and I'm sure there's ways to, you know, defeat that. But again, I think they're going to need to enforce something. One of the reasons I like Burst is because it's not so energy hungry. It is less
right
than CPUs and GPUs. I have checked my power bill and it is more than it was. So December was more than it was last year at this time. It's just Sarah and I in the house. We got rid of two fridges and it's still a little bit more. So like, shoot. Okay. It is pulling. So we'll set a new baseline. And again, we're making some money on that. I do have a goal.
Heated blankets.
Totally. But I'm not giving those up. I do have a goal on this, Mike, is that I think we have maybe two good years on crypto to really be able to make some accelerated money on it. So I'm trying to make as much as I can, even if it's just saving the cash that I make to pay down some of the kids' student loans. We've got the boys got some student loans, and so we're going to make a run, at it and see how it goes. So I feel like with that in mind, I have a kind of a purpose and I'm doing something with it, and it'd be great if it hit. If it doesn't, not the end of the world. I think I can pretty much recoup everything I put into it. And I got some great gear. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It is kind of fun to set these things up. Well, we'll remind everyone, if you want to financially support us here on Home Gadget Geeks, again, I mentioned this last week, but without the Patreon supporters, Mike, I could not have turned around that board as fast as I turned it around to make sure the show went on last week. The Patreon donations, let's just call them that we get for that drop right into a savings account that I have here at Gallup's Credit Union. And I use it just for technology purposes or emergency purposes in this case. And so was able to turn around that Mackie Pro FX8 board very, very quickly, get one back in here. And because you support the show, that helps me be able to do that. And I appreciate you guys do that. We read all the supporters last week on that. But if you want to help us support us, a little as a dollar. And for that, we give you the pre and the post show, which sometimes is better than the actual show. So if you want to get that, you can subscribe. You can subscribe to us on Patreon. Head up to theaverageguy.tv, look for the Patreon link, or go to patreon.com/theaverageguy. That gets you there as well. We appreciate all of you who sponsor us on there. And hey, look at that. Heather's in the chat room. Heather, welcome. Our guest from last week, Mike, is in the chat room. So she heard the full story. And yes, no more drinks for the mixer. I can't handle the drinks.
Good idea. Very well.
Don't forget that the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners, up and working this week. We had a little problem. Christian was patching wildly quickly last week with all this Spectre and Meltdown things that are going on. So we had a few issues last week, but of course, secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. That's Christian. The great news is things aren't working. I kind of know he's working on stuff. Mm-hmm. And usually it's for a good reason. So, you know, if it's not working, and we appreciate his attention to detail, that it's always working well, head out to maplegrovepartners.com and plans start as little as 10 $5 a month. Don't forget, I mentioned this early in the show, but you can listen to Home Gadget Geeks on the mobile app available. HomeGadgetGeeks.com, easiest way to get it. Listen to the live show, listen to the recorded shows, listen to any show. If you catch the show over the weekend, you can catch that live show until I replace it. I usually replace it Saturday or Sunday. You can catch, and then it's just the recorded version, the edited recorded version that's out there. It streams it super easy if you want to do it that way. Instead of having a podcatcher, you can do it. HomeGadgetGeeks.com. It's free. Thank LastPass for their sponsorship of it. And I have been using, I tell you what, Mike, with crypto, I have been using the crap out of LastPass.
That is a very good point. Totally. How many different pools and miners and checking things? All the time.
Yeah. Other Jim said, replace the board? Fine. But did you replace the wine? That's
the $1 million question. Okay,
actually, I was so mad at myself. No more wine that night. But that, and it was 19 Crimes, which is really good stuff. Australian wine. Yeah. I was a lose-lose.
Have you used the app? They're a technology-based wine.
No.
The app, and you point it at the criminal in the front, and it'll tell their story. Oh. And they'll come to life. It's like augmented reality.
Oh, that's sweet. I got to give that a try. 19 Crimes is that wine. I sacrificed it for the board, but it is back. So, LastPass, we thank them for their sponsorship. Super important. Two-factor is everything with crypto. No, I don't create an account unless they got a solid two-factor plan that's in there. And of course, remember, don't forget, when you set up two-factor the first time, copy that number, that recovery number down. Because if you lose stuff, you're not getting it back. And so I take those and put them in the secure notes in the LastPass section. So I have a 2FA section in my LastPass in the secure notes section. Super easy. I can get to everything. If I ever needed to recover it, I could. And all the new passwords, because you're right. I think I'm on 5 exchanges now. Right. I think 5 exchanges plus all the NiceHash and all the mining pool hub and all the pools that we're in and that we mess around with. Pretty cool. So we want to remind everyone as well. Actually, Drashna says, what? No LastPass Authenticator. I haven't used LastPass Authenticator, and I probably should. I use Google's Authenticator.
Yeah, me too.
For it. And it probably make more sense. Actually, Drashna's probably right. It stores that for you if you just use the LastPass Authenticator. Duh.
No, he says, yeah.
Yeah, duh. Well, now I got to go. Drashna. Now I got to go switch all those.
Yeah, I know. I just did that because I can recover things.
I'm not going to. But from here on out, I'm going to set them up on the LastPass Authenticator. I forgot that it does that for me. Very cool. Drashna, thanks for that info. Yeah, I'll have to set those up from now on, which I didn't. I was copy and pasting them. It works just fine. It was a system that works for me. Don't forget, we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. We'll go into a little bit of post-show. Again, remember, you can't get the post-show unless you are a Patreon subscriber. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.